Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something pretty fundamental. Truth.
Yeah, but with a specific lens, right? We're looking at truth as it relates to the sun, the logos in Christian thought.
Exactly. We've got some really rich sources here, from Athanasius to, well, even Tolkien touches on related themes.
Mm-hmm. And our mission, I guess, is to unpack some of the most compelling ideas about how the sun is truth.
So let's jump in. One concept that comes up is relational truthfulness. What's that about?
Right, that's from A.T. Hansen. The idea is that knowing God through the sun isn't just like intellectual head knowledge.
Okay.
It's deeper. It's a whole person encounter, a relationship. Hmm. The sun is the primary way we actually know God truthfully.
So truth isn't a proposition, it's a person, or at least primarily encountered in a person.
Kind of, yeah. It's embodied. And Athanasius builds on this powerfully. He calls the sun the icon, the image.
The image. Meaning
when the Father actually sees his own truth reflected perfectly in the Son, it's quite profound.
Oh.
And Athanasius also says, you can see hints of this in creation. The form of wisdom in God's works points back to the Word who made them, and through the Word to the Father.
So creation itself echoes this truth.
That's the idea. And he didn't stop there. He really emphasized the words omnipresence.
Ah, right. Not confined, but somehow in everything.
Exactly. Distinct from creation, but present throughout it, holding it all together, which, you know, connects nicely to Irenaeus.
And recapitulation. Am I saying that right?
Anacaphylaxis. Yeah, recapitulation. It sounds academic, but it's this amazing idea.
Okay, break it down for us.
Think of it as Christ gathering up everything, all of history, all of creation, God's whole plan, and bringing it to its intended fulfillment in himself.
So not just fixing a mistake, but completing the picture.
Precisely. And it emphasizes the theandric union, God and human, perfectly joined. It's not God just controlling things remotely. It's God becoming fully part of his creation.
Fully embodied. Which leads us straight to the incarnation itself.
Mm-hmm. And the sources stress this wasn't just the Son acting alone. It's a Trinitarian act.
Father, Son, Spirit together.
Yes. The Father sends, the Son comes, the Spirit brings him to birth through Mary. It's a unified divine movement into the world.
That sudden world-changing event? Tolkien had a word for that, didn't he?
He did. Eucatastrophe. The good catastrophe.
Right. How does that fit?
It's that moment of sudden, joyous turn. When things seem darkest, but then there's this unexpected rescue that fulfills a deep, almost unconscious longing.
Like a fairy tale turning real.
Sort of. Tolkien saw echoes of this longing even in pagan myths, like the story of Baldur the Beautiful, a hint that humanity was waiting for something like the incarnation.
Okay, so tying this together, Jesus isn't some hybrid being halfway between God and human.
No, definitely not a tertium quid, a third thing. The point is he's fully God, made flesh. His human personality is the personality of God experienced within creation.
But then how can we, as finite creatures, really grasp the infinite God? Some argue the Trinity is just our limited way of thinking projected onto God.
Right, that's a common objection. But the counterargument is that God isn't bound by our created limitations or the created-uncreated distinction in how he reveals himself. He has revealed himself as triune.
And Gregory of Nyssa tackled this too, didn't he? Against Eunomius.
Yes. When Eunomius argued that a suffering, crucified Jesus must be of a lesser essence than the Father.
Gregory's response was
basically that the very act of God descending, humbling himself to commune with human weakness, refutes that. It shows God's nature, not a lesser nature.
The humility is the revelation.
Exactly. This incarnate Christ, then, becomes the desire of the nations, the concrete hope. The expectation isn't vague. It's for his return.
There's that phrase, finis capax infinitus, the finite containing the infinite.
Mm-hmm. C.S. Lewis visualized this brilliantly in The Last Battle. Remember the stable?
Yeah, tiny on the outside.
But inside, it contained all of Narnia, bigger and brighter than the original. Yet the dwarves, trapped in their cynicism.
They couldn't see it. They just sat there complaining about the dark, even with the feast laid out.
A powerful picture of how our own limitations or unwillingness can blind us to the reality of the infinite present in the finite.
So, ultimately, knowing Jesus.
According to thinkers like Barth and Jensen, it is knowing God. Jesus is the body of God, the humanity of God. He's the one through whom and for whom all things exist. There's no detour needed.
Okay, a final thought to leave our listeners with then.
Well, just consider this. How does this paradox, the finite truly embodying the infinite, a human person being the ultimate truth of God, challenge your own assumptions?
Your assumptions about truth, about God, about maybe even the nature of reality itself? Something to chew on. Thanks for diving deep with us today.